Hello, everyone, and welcome to Universal Energy Radio's What Would Love Do? I am your host this morning, or whatever time of day it is for you, Anna Bangulin, and I am looking forward to having this little chat. You can certainly join me on the chat. You can call in, raise your hand. Our co-host Liz at the Some of You show says, you know, Anna, give the call-in number at 718-664-9124. Push 1 to get on the line with me. So this show is about love. What would love do? As things are shifting in our universe, not only for us individually, but also in the world, it's about how you're being in that energy, the growing and expanding. We are all energy, and everything around us is energy. Your thoughts and actions do affect not only yourself, but it ripples out to affect those around you. What if we allowed love to carry us? And what if in any moment we ask, what would love do? And this is a question that in general has helped me in so many different ways. In this current time and place, my partner of 18 years and I are separating, and it's not been an easy task, I will tell you. And so when I ask, what would love do? Sometimes love is a groveling, begging idiot. I would say that. And sometimes love just wants to be love, and sometimes love just doesn't understand. And I'm going to throw that out there because that's kind of where I am at in this point. Actually, I'm learning to understand more and more. I just, when you're sitting in a situation that doesn't feel good and wanting to shift that is a not easy place to be. And I've been very blessed to have such an amazing family. My cousin Elisa, who is the other co-host of the Some of You show, and my sister, my dad, my brother, just members of my family, just being supportive, not being at all I want to say negative. That's not in a not positive way is a good way to phrase that. And just there to help me, support me, hold me, tell me I'm loved, tell me I'm amazing, and tell me I do great things. And, you know, I have my kids, and they're the same thing. My focus now is on them and making sure that they are good. And they also ask in the moment, what would love do? And that's something that I often tell them. It's like when they're poking at each other, I say, you know, first of all, ask what would love do in this moment. Would love, you know, be sitting on your sister right now? Would love be in a situation where you're having to snap at each other? You know, what would love do? So that's my big question now. That and ease and grace. Everything has to be ease and grace. So we came across something a couple days ago when I finally broke down and was just at an all-time low. I have to say that. I felt like I was an all-time low, and I feel like I've never been. I equate this to when my mom passed away back in 2005, and it's that kind of loss for me. So I was not in a good place, shifting my energy, and had a conversation, a text conversation with my brother, a verbal conversation with my father, and ended up talking to my sister for almost 2 hours on the phone and shifted the energy. Finally went to sleep, and in the moment going to sleep, it was, you know, what I was getting was let go, just let go, surrender and let go to the process. And when I woke up, I checked my email box, and I got something from the folks at My Movies, and it's some points from Marianne Williamson, and I just wanted to read those points this morning because I think there's something that if we could strive for this in our lives, you know, sometimes situations are put us in a very unusual place. I want to say that. And for me, it's understanding how we go from a place of love and understanding to a place of no love, no understanding, no compassion. And so to me, reaching for that better feeling thought always feels good. And this is something that I want to be an example of. And sometimes I'm not the best example. I'm going to say that because sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm in a place of hurt and anger and sadness, and not to the point of detriment to anyone else except my own emotional being and my own creations. And so I have to ask, what am I creating in this moment? But anyway, So when I woke up, I had this email, and it had some points from Marianne Williamson, and I thought, I read through the points, and I thought, this is amazing. So I want to read these, because this is something that I feel, if we could read these and look through these, I think we would all have an aha moment or just breathe a sigh of relief. So the first point was, forgiveness is not always easy. At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet there is no peace without forgiveness. The second one is, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. So that it's what would love do? When we do things from that place of love, that genuine place, and I say genuine because you can say I love, or I'm doing this for love, and it's got to be genuine. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be you, you know, your love. Okay, so I'm getting off track here. So third one. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Go out and be your best self. The fourth one is, love is what we were born with. Fear is what we learned here. That one is huge. That's a big aha moment, because I realize too, I've been moving through a place of fear, and every once in a while getting stuck from a place of fear. And it's time to move that. It's time to shift that, because when you operate from that place of fear, it comes, it's all around you. The people that you will talk to and communicate with are fearful. Their focus is on fear. Their focus is on lack. The focus is on unworthiness. The focus is on what you are unable to do. The focus is on not allowing you to empower yourself and strengthen who you truly are. When you're full of fear, you will see it show up in so many ways. And trust me, it's showing up. It has been showing up. And I know, you know, I was listening to Abraham today, and it's, you are living right now in your present. You're living in what you've been thinking about in your past. And this is something that we've been talking about and talking about and talking about. So what's going to show up for me today? What's going to show up for me tomorrow? What's going to show up for me the next day? That's important. And when I say me, I mean, you, what's going to show up? What are you thinking about right now? How is it that you're shifting? I mean, this is, you know, one of the things, and bless you, Elise, I know you're listening in, for setting up the show for me as I'm driving, because I stayed at my sister's last night, and that's about an hour or more from my home, and I drove back to my house so that I could see my children and do the show, and I had not set up my show. And so, bless my family, and she set it up for me, sent me the call in, all that good information, everything that I needed to do my show. And so it's like, did I feel like when I woke up this morning, did I feel like doing this show? I was so heavy-hearted. My heart was just heavy. It was aching. And I had to shift it. I don't have to. I did. I shifted it. I mean, you've got to move in a different direction. You've got to shift it to a place of love. You've got to, you know, I say you got it, you don't have to. And how does that feel? That's my question. All right. The new midlife is where you realize that even your failures make you more beautiful and are turned spiritually into success if you become a better person because of them. You become a more humble person. You become a more merciful and compassionate person. I think this one's my favorite. It's just beautiful. The sixth one is, the key to abundance is meeting limited circumstances with unlimited thought or thoughts. And joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. Something that I always say, find the good, find the gift, find the God in every situation. How is this going to, you know, you could say, how is this going to benefit me? How am I going to shift? How am I going to be in the space? I mean, I'm so used to being a we. I'm so used to being an us. I'm so used to having this family to be a part of. And that family is, you know, I don't want to say it's been getting torn apart, because it's not about tearing it apart. It's about moving in a different direction. And I've resisted that. And I know I've resisted that. And it's something that we need to step into. Things need to change, and change in a big, drastic way. And this is how change shows up. So you look back at things that have happened in the past and you see subtle hints, you see things that you should have done or would have done or could have done if you only knew what you knew now, if you were only aware of what you are aware of now. I think that is that's the key right there, is that awareness and shifting into the awareness. You know, we can say, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. And yet, if you are not aware in that moment, then how could you shoulda, coulda, woulda? So in the moment, as you're shifting and you're being in this space, what is showing up? And when you can show up in a space of love, in a space of compassion, in a space of being in your power, being in your worthiness, it's amazing. It's empowering. It's wonderful. It feels good. And things can be falling down around you. And this is kind of sort of my weird perspective right now. Things are falling down around you. They're certainly not in the places that you want to be. I was having a conversation with a client on my way back to the house this morning, and we had a bunch of major projects, and there's an issue with one of the projects. And, you know, it's like, there's nothing I can do about that right now. I'm going to have to see what the deal is, get in touch with them, find out what's going on. You know, it's types of things. And what is that a manifestation of? That's a good one to put it. What is that a manifestation of? It's a manifestation of where my thoughts have been. It's a manifestation of how I've been being in the world. It's a manifestation of not showing up. It's a manifestation of not being happy where I am. All the things that we talk about. This is knowing that we're human beings. And in the moment, instead of staying in this place of lack and unworthiness and saying, this too shall pass. We're moving forward here. We're always going to move forward. Now, whether we move forward in a place of love and compassion and joy, or whether we move forward in a place of anger and sadness and depression and regret, that's two totally different energies. It's mega different energies right there. You know, we talk about the emotional guidance scale, one being love and joy and peace, and bottom being depression and sadness. So where do we fall on that scale? I think the difference between, you know, working through this for me now, unlike my mom's passing, is I stayed in a really depressed state for almost 2 years with my mom's passing. I refuse to do that again. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to not be happy. And when I feel that coming on, I shift it. I move it. I change it. I grow it. I expand it. The love and the joy, not the sadness and the anger and all of that stuff, because it does not serve me. That's the thing. It all has to come back to you. And I have to look at this and say, I manifested this in my experience. What is my teaching here? What is my learning here? What am I gleaning here? What is my gift? And moving into that and being an example, not only for my children, but those around me, my ex-partner, you know, how am I being an example? Do I stand in my shoes? You know, did I grovel the other night? Yes, I was sad. I was upset. You know, things really just came to a head, and that was it. And from that moment on, it's like, you know, things have got to change. They've got to be different. This is what she's been telling me. They've got to change. They've got to be different. And this is what it is. And it's different in a way that I'm not used to. And it's different in a way that, you know, my thought was not this, and this is what's happening. And it's okay. It has to be okay. It's where we are. It's where I am. And so when we understand that we are energy and how we hold that space for ourselves, it is so important that we operate from a place of love. And again, you don't have to. My thought is, if you're listening to this, you are in that vicinity or you are there. Because our energies can't line up. It doesn't feel good when our energies line up. If I'm standing in a place of love and you're standing in a place of sadness or resistance, we're not going to hang out very long. It's like standing right with a piece of sandpaper, and we're jumping up. We were kind of up and down trying to talk, have a conversation. We have this irritation going on between us. That's exactly what it is. And that's what it feels like. So if you ever come across just people in your everyday that just don't seem to be in a space of love or even a space of kindness. I find that's very interesting how I do these little experiments where you just set yourself, you know, even if you're going to go grab something to eat, maybe, say, for example, because I used to do this a lot, go grab something to eat, but before you went in, you got yourself into a state of absolute joy, absolute joy. So when you stand in this state of absolute joy, and you're waiting in line to get your food, and when you stand up there and that person has this grimace on their face and they're, you know, they're not real thrilled about being there, and now you're going to tell them some complicated order, and you look at them and they look at you and you say, "Hi," and they are like, "Oh, hi." So I love watching people's faces change, and I love watching them smile. Smiles are huge. Smile. It's like, in this situation, what can I do right now? You know, I can do nothing. I can only smile. I can look up at the sky, and I can grin really big, and I can be happy in this moment, this beautiful moment. I'm sitting out on my back deck. I don't know if you can hear it. There are beautiful birds just chirping away, making all these beautiful noises. I have a gorgeous black cat sitting on the table next to me, just kind of hanging out. Everybody's just sort of hanging out, and it's just a beautiful setting. It's a nice setting. It's very peaceful and very loving. You know, I came into my home, I kissed my kids, and I came and did my show. And I'm like, when my little girl peeked open her eyes and she smiled at me, that's the world to me. When I kissed my little boy on his head and I said, "I love you, buddy," and I hear, "I love you too," that's the joy for me. You know, I just love putting my face in their hair and smelling them. It's just a happiness. It's just a joy. It's just a peace for me. And it's something that I haven't had in a day. So that's not real easy. One of the shifts that I'm going to have to make is I will be living without my children. I will not see them necessarily every day. My hope is I could see them at least every other day, or, you know, we'll FaceTime and stuff like that. They're not moving that far away. It's just knowing that that little energy is in your space. I love that little energy. Those little energies are amazing. So it's shifting all of those things and being aware of what's possible. What's the next step? What's the next possibility? What are some things that are transpiring in your life right now that you can look forward to? I know we talk about living in the now, and it is about living in the now. And sometimes in that now, we've got to do some forward thinking or some future casting or being in a space of what's possible and really revving up who we are and revving up the infinite possibility of empowerment. One of the things for me that I have just sort of, I want to say lazily, but just kind of went through is dealing with finance and dealing with money and dealing with all those things. I think I did a show on Monday called Your Money Story. So I'm really learning about my money story, and I'm really learning about investing, and I'm really learning about what I have and make it grow and expand automatically so that I'm not having to focus on it. Because one of the things, I am not a focuser on a dollar sign, and I realize that. And now it's about empowering myself to, you know, take the money I have and how can I double it? How can I double it? With minimal effort? How can I triple it without minimal effort? So all this stuff that I'm learning on that side has been amazing. And it's like, it's time now for me to really, truly step into me and really, truly find out what is your next step? What are the things that you're going to do? I know that I will be living life differently. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know the how. I just know that my life is changing and it's going to be different. And sometimes I get into a fear of, honestly, what if I fall on my face? Honestly, what if? But then there's that fear creeping back in. So how do I shift that? You know, I have a lot of love and I have a lot of support. And I know that. I can feel that. I feel like I could not get through all of this without my family. Not only my immediate family, my ex-partner and my kids, because she's been there as well. I mean, she's there, and there are times when that communication gets a little jumbled. We're still working on that. And it's getting back to who we are as friends and creating a friendship. And sometimes we'll have these conversations that just click, and they're just amazing, and they're beautiful conversations. And I am so appreciative and grateful of that, because then I know what's possible. I see what's possible in a conversation, in a friendship, and being there for our children, I believe, is a key element in all of this. You know, those kids are, they're phenomenal. I'm not their birth mother, so I can't take credit for their actual beauty, although they are beautiful. And as one of their co-parents, I feel very blessed to be a part when someone says, you have amazing children and they're so well behaved, which I'm not real fond of that terminology, because behavior is, you know, what are they supposed to behave? I'm like, you know, what are you expecting of them? Are you expecting them to climb the walls, be loud? What are you expecting of them? My kids are, you know, they're very kind. They are very loving. They're joy filled. They are amazing. They are loved, and they are loved. And I think that is the key that to know that these children are infinitely loved. You know, and they come in and they want to love. That's their thing. And what happens in this life? There's so much fear that happens. I mean, as Marianne Williamson said, you know, love is what we're born with. Fear is what we learn here. So how can we shift that so we're not living in fear? How can we shift that so, you know, how do we not throw that paradigm on our children? How do we, you know, it's like, that's the question. Because we allow them to be and do and have for themselves. I mean, it's their journey. And as their parents, the only way that we're going to instill the love and the joy and the compassion and the peace is be the love, the joy, the compassion and the peace. You know, be the love, be the joy, be the peace, be the hopefulness. You know, I mean, when we are those things, then that's what we attract, and that's what we teach. And we don't have to point our finger and say, this is how it's done. We just be in that space and be in that energy. I think it's really, really important. You know, one of the things that I talk about with our son is he has a cat, and this cat, he loves this cat. This we had adopted a couple of cats about 4 years ago, and I wanted an orange cat. So a friend brought in had a stray cat. She hadn't had that cat happen to have kittens, so she had all these cats. And I said, hey, do you have an orange one? I've never had an orange cat. I'd love to have an orange cat. And she's like, actually, there is one orange cat. I was like, great. So we go over there, and I think Jaden, he was pretty young. He was actually, I think they're probably older. I think he was only like 5. So they were about 5 or 6 years old now. So he was 5 or 6 years old. And I remember him coming in. And, of course, I picked up the orange cat, and I'm just, you know, oh, he's beautiful. You know, I definitely want this. Well, Jaden picks up this little white cat, and he has it basically, he's got it in his arms, but its little legs and everything are dangling. It's kind of like he's holding it under his armpits. It's so cute, and he's just standing there. And, you know, in ratio of kid to cat, a kitten to a kid is like a grown cat to an adult. So it was really cute, this big cat basically in his arms. And I said, you know, buddy, we're only going to take one cat. So why don't you leave, you know, you can leave that cat. You know, you got to put that cat down. And he shook his head no. And it's like, okay, you know, and stuff was saying, you know, you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to get the cat out of his arms. And I'm looking at this little guy, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, you know, we don't need how many ever cats we were going to have. I don't know if it was 3 or 4. We generally always, like 3. I don't know. We had this number of 3 cats. And I was just like, you know, I just want one more cat. I don't want 2 more cats. And so we went back and forth, and I'm trying to gently talk him out of this cat. And he's shaking his head no, and he's hanging on to this cat. This cat's just hanging with its little paws. You know, and it's just, it's not squirming. It's not doing anything. It's just hanging there. I mean, it's looking at me like, you know, hey, what's going on? And so I looked at Steph, and I said, well, I'm open to taking it. If he's not going to put it down. And it's not a matter of, it wasn't a matter of, you know, not wanting to hurt his feelings, but this, he wasn't speaking. And it wasn't that he spoke a lot anyway, but he wasn't speaking about it. He was just very, adamant. And he wasn't being angry. He wasn't being upset. He wasn't being mad. He wasn't being anything. He was just telling us, I'm taking this cat. This is my cat. And as a matter of fact, as I'm talking about this cat is literally walking. I mean, I'm sitting in a chair. It's sitting on the armchair. This is the cat. And so she has been one of the most loving and kind and peaceful little kitties. And she's tiny. She's a little petite, and she's all grown now, but she's a little one. And she is his cat. But anyway, what my story is that he loves this cat, and he always wants to pet this cat. Still, he's 11 now, pet this cat and love this cat. And every time he sees her, he kind of walks towards her, and she walks away. And I was trying to explain to him that this is about energy. So when stop and just take a breath. And when you do this, the other cats too, like when the kids come running down the stairs, the cats kind of scatter. So I'm like, before you guys come down, I'll say gentle, come down gentle. They'll come down, they'll take a breath, and then they'll walk into the room, and the cats will stay. So it's all about the energy. You know, if they come running down all exuberant and fun, which is fine, just know that the cats are going to run away. And so what happens is the cat will walk away from him, but the moment he stills, the moment he sits, this cat will come up to him, and this cat will sit on him, curl up on him, love him. She genuinely adores this little boy. It's so funny to watch that back and forth. You know, oh, I want to pick her up. It's like, well, then approach her gently. You know, the energy, you're so excited. He just gets very, very excited about these cats. He's a cat man. I call him Catman too. And he's super excited about his cats. So that's his thing. It's like, just feel the energy of it. What's the energy when you're excited? And now he's got it where, you know, he says, oh, she won't come to me, or she won't. It's like, when you put it out there, that's what's going to happen. When you just throw it out there, that's what's going to happen. You're saying, you're speaking it into existence. I said, what does it look like? Her name's Bella. What does it look like when Bella comes to you and hangs out with you? And he's like, well, we have these blankets. We call them softest blankets in the world. And he says, well, Bella comes over and she loves the softest blanket in the world. So she just curls up here and I get to pet her. I said, does she stay? And he says, yes, she stays. So it's really visualizing what you want to happen. And I'll tell you, in the past week or so, this is something that you get into your head and you react and I was at a place of really desperation of wanting to quote unquote fix this and make this into something else. And you know, it's not. It is something totally different. It cannot be. It's a round peg trying to go into a square hole, basically. I am shifting this. I've got to be open to infinite possibility. I have to be open to something new. I have to be open to something different. And you know, I think last week Liz came on the show and she was talking about her experience as well. And it's like, it's all new. It's all changing. Growth and expansion. And this will be healthier. I will be more in tune with what it is that I truly want, not just as a family unit, but me, myself, and I, because this is something that a lot of times is individuals in relationships, we forget to be individuals. We forget to be who we are. We forget to nurture ourselves, you know, and with both of us, Steph and I both, that's it. We have not nurtured ourselves. We've been nurturing children. We've been raising children, and that's not a good thing. It's a very good thing to raise your children and do for them. And at the same time, you've got to take a step back and do for yourself and be in that space for yourself. So it's time for a timeout. It's time for a moment of instillment, a moment of being in our own space. And so we're moving in that direction. And, you know, I can say, is there fear there for me? Yeah, sure, there's fear. You know, and it's not just the part about living alone, because I haven't lived alone in over 18 years. And I've been alone. I've been in the house by myself and stuff, but this is going to be a truly, totally different experience for me. So we have these things that were the unknown. And the question I ask myself is, am I willing to step into this with an open mind of being creative, with an open mind of something, something for myself, something for me. And so I ask, what would love do? You know, what would love do? And it's like, love's going to rearrange the furniture. You know, that's the first thing you do. Love is going to figure out what foods you really do like to eat. You know, love is going to create a schedule so that you see your children on a regular basis. Love is, you know, so what are some things that love can do? And you can apply that to general things, you know, general happenings. Love wants to travel. Love wants to see and explore. And that's what I'm going to do. We are not. That's their choice. Love is going to travel. Love is going to meet new people. Love is going to experience new things. Love is going to love her family. You know, it's like love is going to, you know, see friends that you haven't seen in a while. Love is going to take time to nurture, pamper, and trust who she is. And that's the big thing. What are some things? What's your list? You know, right now, you've got to start somewhere. I have to start somewhere, you know. Again, I have some amazing support. I have a beautiful support system, and I have many places that I can go and many people that I can visit and see. And, you know, my life isn't looking what I want it to look like right now. And so what's the possibility in that? What's the infinite possibility, and what's the next step in that? You know, it's always that, what would love do? What would love do in this moment? What would love do? You know, love would be just watching your cats play, you know. Love would be listening to the birds. Love would be, you know, calling a client, finding out what happened, which is my next step. So, you know, it's taking the breath. What's going on? What's the scoop? You know, what do you need me to recreate? What needs to happen in this moment? How can we make this better? You know, that's one of the things that I like to do, and I've realized that. I like to be solution. And sometimes I can't be solution to everybody, and that's okay too. No, you want to share solution, and you want everyone to be happy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in life were happy and joyful and peaceful and compassionate and loving? I know right now in Atlanta, if you've watched the news or even had somebody next to you that watched the news, we had a huge fire on one of our major interstates. And it has closed the interstate at a certain section of town before the city of Atlanta, north of Atlanta. So traffic has been rerouted. It has been a not good thing for a lot of people who have to commute. And you hear it. You know, my sister was talking about it. It's Good Friday today. So I do want to acknowledge this is this is the anniversary of the day that we actually buried my grandmother many, many moons ago. So that just dawned on me. It's like, wow, Good Friday. Very interesting. Anyway, back to the traffic. Just a little, I think she's coming in. It's like, hey, you know, giving me some virtual hugs. Thanks, Grandma. That was awesome. Anyway, so this traffic has been crazy. So yesterday a friend had posted some things like, you know, when I open up a gap, for you to step into the gap on the road, because this is a little crazy right now, then, you know, why not say thank you? Why not be polite? You know, I'm giving a gap so you can take a gap. So maybe as you pay it forward, eventually you will give a gap. She wrote this whole thing. I did it. My sister read it to me last night. She's like, hey, did you see what, you know, Deb posted on Facebook? And I was like, no, I didn't. And so she was, telling me, she's like, oh, she posted this thing about the traffic and being in the traffic, because so many people work. I mean, my sister works in town, so you know, this is what happens when and she's like, yeah, she has to leave like 2 hours ahead of time just to get where she needs to go in the morning because of exactly where she, you know, where she works. And so, oh, okay, I found it. I want to read this, so it's kind of cute. So if you're in Atlanta, maybe you'll take this into consideration. Dear drivers who have transplanted to Atlanta, please, during this stressful time of driving on our streets, try to drive. Okay, communication is key. Use a blinker to let others know your intentions to merge or to turn. Give a gap, take a gap. A little pay it forward goes a long way. Give a gap, and a gap comes back to you when you need it most. When someone does a courtesy to you, a thank you is in order and greatly appreciated. We all have somewhere to be, so stop the aggressive driving and arrive alive. Slow down in our city streets. Accidents, annoying fender benders just add to the chaos. Thank you. 7 more weeks to go. So I just thought that was, you know, when it was just hilarious. It was just hilarious. It's shifting your energy when something goes like that. And I have to say, you know, my sister was saying there are some crazy drivers out there and people are doing some very strange things, and I understand that. And at the same time, with all of this chaos, and I know traffic is not good, but people are genuinely okay. They're moving through it. They, you know, it's like their energy moves, their energy, any energy goes. And here, I'm going to shout out to Kelly. She's Kelly from Australia. She just texted me and I love you. So that's awesome. Hey, Kel. Anyway, so it's very nice when you get the love, I want to say there's something about the energy with people, and you can feel the palpable holding of space. And that's the thing that I feel like I've received in the past week from many people who've just called to check in on me, which I thought, wow, how amazing is that? But they're palpably holding space for me. They are allowing, they're being my mirror of saying, you are amazing. You are empowering other people. You are helping other people. Now it's time to go help yourself. It's time to do this for you. And I appreciate that. All of you who've called me, texted me, who've called me on, you know, just chit-chatting on the phone that I've met up with for either it's lunch or hanging out. My cousin Elisa, you know, you've been awesome, you know, totally awesome with your observation mode and just being in a space of, and especially when I was in not good places and you totally turned, you know, you helped me turn it. And I love that. I really appreciate that. And I know it's not easy for you to watch all of this go on because you're so close with our family. And, you know, my kids love and adore you as well. So and the other night when things went crazy and stuff and the kids stepped out and she texted me, you know, and I said, you know, I'm doing much better, thank you. And it takes a village. It takes a village of connecting with people. You know, it was late at night and I connected with my family and they gave back. They unconditionally gave back with a lot of love. And even my sister who goes to bed early, I mean, she called me at 10:30 at night and she's like, you know, her youngest son called. He never calls her that late because he knows she's in bed. But he called and she goes, I know he called for the sole purpose of waking me up so I could see all these text messages that you and your brother, that Tony, were, you know, our brother, we were having. And she said, I read the text messages and I had to call you because I had to hear your voice and I had to know that you were okay. And I said, yeah, I've shifted it. It's good. For a very long time, I shifted it. And now, what would love do? Love would be kind. Love would be compassionate. Love would be peaceful. Love would be love. You know, genuine love. Heartfelt, centered love. You know, pink crystal love. You know, whatever label you want to put on it. But it is love. And I think we love to the degree, you know, that we feel it. And we feel it coming back. So I'm very blessed to have that in my experience. And very blessed to be able to talk about it and be able to release the stuff, the fear, you know, it's going to be a process. I know that. And we're working through it. You are where you are and it's okay. So I love the Abraham stuff. I mean, I'm listening to older Abraham stuff. So it's the fresh, when they first started and the questions, and they are the most simplistic questions. And, you know, it's like reminding me, you know, I create my reality in that moment so I can choose to be in this not feeling good place for a long period of time. And I'm going to watch something show up tomorrow or the next day or the next day or even a month from now that's residue from when I wasn't shifting my energy. But now it's like, okay, in this moment, this heartache does not serve me. So it's time to move it. It's time to change it. It's time to shift. And again, one of the reasons for doing this show is helping not only me shift, but I hope, you know, that's my intention, is that somebody gleans something from this, what I call my ramblings, because I feel like that's what I do. Just ramble on about what's possible. And sometimes the what would love do can feel like rose-colored glasses and you're not seeing life in its realness, but your realness was yesterday's energy. Your realness today is last week's energy. Your realness today was last year's energy. It's time to move it, because when I am in an empowered state, wonderful, fabulous, miraculous miracles happen. And that's what I look for now. I look for miracles. I look for something bigger and better and beyond where I've been. And that's what I'm willing to receive now. I'm open to receiving. And that was my message this morning. Receive the love. Receive the compassion. Receive the fact that you are here on this planet to have a journey, and you've created, what a journey you've created, and what a journey I've had. I've been very blessed to live the life that I've lived and be in connection with the people that I've been connected with and share moments with my ex. You know, she's a beautiful person. She's amazing. And knowing that our journeys are changing, and it has to be okay, you know? It's okay. Again, what would love do? Love would love. Love would love. And that's what I'm looking at. If that doesn't feel good to some people, it doesn't feel good to some people. But love would love. And when love doesn't, it kind of hangs out and waits for you to get back into that place, then love would love again. So, but when you look towards that and you have that mantra, my sister and I, again, because she was talking about traffic and she has a mantra. One of her mantras is about being compassionate and something else. And she says that when she's in the car in traffic. And I said, ease and grace. We say ease and grace. It's all about ease and grace. And what would love do? So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. I appreciate you listening in. Again, in those moments of creative contrast for yourself to help you grow and expand, ask what would love do. Show, you know, the universe is here. The universe is conspiring to do us good. The universe is bringing us what we are putting out there. Understand that. And when you can shift into what would love do, when you can move into ease and grace, those things that are beautiful and loving and kind and compassionate show up for you. And, you know, I just want to say, it's like when we allow other people and other situations and other things to really bother us, get under our skin, if you will, because that's happened to me, you've got to shift it. You've got to throw love on that situation too. And sometimes it doesn't feel good in that moment. And if you look towards the better feeling thought, you're not going to stay in a really bad place for long. Or not good place. Whoops. It's working on the words too. Working on the verbiage. Anyway. All right, folks. So again, just ask yourself, what would love do? And be in that present state of love as much as you can. I know it's a process. Trust me. I know. I'm in it. I'm in the trenches. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at thecreativepeeps@gmail.com. If you are on or you can ask at Universal Energy Radio. You can email that one too, and it'll take me a second, but I'll get to you. You can, if you're following us on Blog Talk, you can message me through Blog Talk. I'll get all those emails as well. So just remember that life is your journey. Do the best to be happy and ask what would love do where you are in that moment, and watch where it takes you. What a journey it is. All right, folks. Love you. Have an amazing morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.